But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I know that he has all the tools as a head coach to be successful in this league. He just needed more time before taking the job. In the end, I'm a fan of this team first, and now I have to go out and find a coach who can get us back to the playoffs and hopefully championships.
A somewhat apologetic, definitely emotional, maybe even distressed, upset, torn up. That was Bob Kraft and the impressions that I got from his voice and his body language. But we want to talk to Karen Garigian, who covers the Patriots, gosh, 40 years for Mass Live Sports now. And she joins us from Boston. Karen, you were there. You listened to the owner of the Patriots. What did you take away from what Bob Kraft had to say on Monday?
He took accountability. He said, blame him. He made a mistake. I mean, he still thinks Gerard Mayo will be a good coach. It was just too soon. He put him into the role too soon and in what he described as an untenable situation. And, I think by that, he was inheriting one of the worst rosters, if not the worst roster, in the NFL. He was succeeding a 6-time Super Bowl winning head coach in New England. He had no experience as a head coach. He wasn't even a defensive coordinator. He was a linebackers coach. Mm-hmm. And as smart as Gerard Mayo is, as well as he knows football, there's just more that goes into being a head coach. And I think Gerard learned that the hard way. If it was just simple, just a matter of coaching, that's one thing. But all the things you have to deal with, and dealing with the media and dealing with days in, days off, all those kind of things, if you haven't done it before, it's hard to manage the first time around. And I really don't think he had much in the way of help. I mean, I know some coaches like Sean McVay, when he first, his early years, he had Wade Phillips on his sideline. Right. And, there really weren't experienced head coach types with him. Ben McAdoo was like a senior assistant, but in terms of guidance or someone to say, hey, Gerard, don't do that. Gerard, you might want to do that this way. There was nobody there kind of guiding him that way. So he made some mistakes. And mostly, though, what Robert Kraft said was, after their surprising win in the season opener against Cincinnati, he thought the team regressed. And it was more like from the midpoint on, he was looking for any sign of progress or any sign that even with a bad roster, there was a culture being built, that they were headed in a positive direction. And it just never happened. Gerard talked a lot about players not being repeat offenders with mistakes. But he was making the same type of mistakes with the media and saying things that he would have to take back the next day. He would say he was benching someone on the radio or to the TV people. And this was a running back. And on game day, the running back started. Mm. So it was just a little confounding, all his missteps. And the last home game prior to this one, the fans were chanting Fire Mayo, and the boos and the empty seats. I think all these things added up to, Robert saying, okay, look, I made a mistake, and he had to move on.
Hmm. So you mentioned the fans. I was actually going to ask Karen, how much do you think the fans' reaction and their disappointment and disgust with the season played into this?
Yeah, Robert actually acknowledged, not directly, but in some of the things he said, you know, he said he's a fan and the team is owned by the fans, more or less, and he's just a custodian. It's a fan-based team. Hmm. In that way, I think he was telling us he was listening to the unrest and the booing. And I don't know, Gerard just touched off this firestorm of people who just didn't like him. And it didn't look like it was going to head back in the other direction.
So when he talks about wanting to get someone in place quickly, what's he looking for as the next head coach of the Patriots?
Given the mistake he made, I'm going to go for a coach, someone with some experience and someone who, no matter the type of roster they get, is going to, you know, make the best out of that roster, get what they can out of that roster, you know, while they're working to get better parts in and so on and so forth. But I do think, as bad as the roster was, as low as expectations were, I think the Crafts thought that there were some more wins in there that the team didn't get, and perhaps with a better coach, a more experienced coach, I'm talking like in-game situations and stuff like that, they might have been a 6-7 win team instead of a 4-4 win team.
Karen Garigian is with us from Mass Live covering the Patriots, and what was a very quick change and a quick hook by Bob Kraft right after the Pats wrapped the season with a win. He fires Gerard Mayo and gave his remarks on Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The obvious talk now has turned to Mike Vrabel. I know the name was brought up at the press conference with Mr. Kraft. What did he say?
He dodged that one. Yeah, he dodged that word. Said there was a lot of interesting candidates out there, and he's still getting to know who all the candidates are. But I don't want to call it a slam dunk, but Vrabel checks off so many boxes. One, the experience factor. He's had a measure of success. He comes from the Patriots. He won 3 Super Bowls, so there's a familiarity about him. And I think the Crafts like people they're familiar with, like to work with people that they, you know, have a good sense about who they are and what they can provide. Gerard was in there. Even Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was in as a defensive coordinator for Bill Parcells when Parcells was here. You know, Robert got to know Bill through Bill Parcells because he was on the coaching staff. So that familiarity, especially now, I mean, Robert's 83, having a coach that he's, you know, knows the dynamics, is aware of the history, is aware of the fan base, has a good understanding of what Robert expects. You know, I'm not saying that they won't go outside. I just think Mike Vrabel's almost a match made in heaven for Robert. But I also think if Robert's trying to get them out of the gutter and to get some goodwill back with the fan base, I think Mike Vrabel is basically the best turn it around quick fix solution out there.
So we'll see whether or not it's someone from internal or someone from outside. But how important do you think it is that it's someone who can work with Drake May after they kind of saw some real positive signs with him?
Yeah, well, I think if you do hire someone like Mike Vrabel, the head coach, he, like Gerard, is the defensive-minded guy. Although Mike Vrabel has had a little more time to get to know more about the offensive side of it. I mean, he was in Cleveland as a consultant, and he was working with the offense. But I think that was intentional. You know, it kind of makes you a much more well-rounded candidate and, you know, for the next job. And, I mean, let's face it, the league is so offensive-driven that, you know, some really good defensive coaches are kind of, I don't want to say eliminated from the coaching mix, but not perhaps given the same type of shot because everyone wants the great offensive mind. And that's why Ben Johnson is such a hot candidate from Detroit right now.
Right.
The Patriots have put in a requested interview with him. I think it's great that they will interview him and talk to him. But I think when push comes to shove, Robert isn't going to make the same mistake again and not pick someone who's at least had some head coaching experience. But I will say, it's good that they will bring in candidates now. They didn't do that with Gerard. It was written in Gerard's contract
right. That
he was going to succeed Bill at some point. And so there was no coaching search. But the benefit of a coaching search is, or any search for GM or whatever, you get to talk to people and kind of hear their ideas or you get to hear their ideas of how they would fix what was broke. And I think that's an important thing for any organization when they're making a hire, just to hear ideas, hear what people think. And even if you know who you think you're going to hire, sometimes you might change your view. Or, I mean, this is one of the best cases I can bring up for you. At the Pittsburgh Steelers, when Bill Cowher left, everyone was writing and everyone assumed that they were going to replace Cowher with one of his coordinators, mm-hmm. whether it was a defensive coordinator or the offensive coordinator. That didn't happen. The current coach came in for an interview and basically blew them away. And guess what? He's been there 100 years, has had a winning record every single year. I guess the point is you don't know until you go through the process.
Right, if you go through it.
For my money, even if Mike Vrabel is the favorite, and there's no question that he is, it still will be good for them, again, hear other things. As I said, Mike Tomlin came in and blew away the Steelers, and they went with him. And they haven't been sorry since.
Right. Good point. Very good point. Karen Garigian is with us from Boston as the Patriots are already underway in their search for what will be their third head coach in 3 years. I haven't had a chance to talk to you, actually, Karen, since Bill Belichick took the UNC job. What was your reaction to that move?
Stunned. Shocked. Fun if you find out that nobody wanted him in the NFL. Sure, he wanted a coach. And the situation at North Carolina, you know, his father had coached there. But the type of autonomy they're giving him, the control they're giving him, mm-hmm. that would have been essential in any NFL job that he took. He wants to run it. He wants his people in. And if UNC was willing to give him what he wanted, sure. And I think his contract is such that on a chance that an NFL job is out there and somebody is actually wanting him after a year or two, I think he has an out where he can go. So whether that happens or not, I don't know. Bill is a coach. He's willing to go to the college level and continue his passion at age 73.
I like that he's collecting people with him in Chapel Hill that he worked with in New England. It's interesting, the number of people, maybe similar to what you were talking about with Robert Kraft, in that he wants to have people around him that he trusts and that he knows can hit the ground running and they can start right away and begin to make the changes that he desires. Back to the Patriots, they've got not the number one pick, which they were in line for had they not won on Sunday, but they end up with the number four pick. We know they have a quarterback, so what else do they need? That's not a fair question. What direction could they potentially go with that pick?
I was going to say, when you say, what do they need? I'm going to say, pick a position, any position. They've been ignoring tackle for years. Their offensive line is terrible. And they need a left tackle. They need a right tackle. But we'll start with a left tackle. They thought by signing a right tackle in free agency last year and drafting a right tackle in the third round last year that somehow those people could make the switch over to left. And no, that just did not happen. I would say tackle. But again, you know how these things work. Free agency comes first.
Right.
They have $130 million or so in cap space. So they have a ton of cap space and a ton of money. So they're going to have to try and convince some free agents that New England is the place to go. The tackle market and free agency coming up is pretty good, unlike last year. They need, as always, a game-changing number one receiver. They need an edge rusher, pass rusher. They could use linebacker help. They could use help on the defensive line. Mm. They could let's just list, as I said, let's list about everything. If it's me, help on the offensive line is number one. And then receiver, number two. And you can flip a coin on the rest of it.
I know for years, Karen, you and along with the rest of the Patriots media contingent were covering playoff games. Is it odd now to have kind of this mini drought for a couple years?
It is odd. It's like you feel out of place because they were always there. It's like you knew you weren't getting your break till after the Super Bowl. In saying that, that's not a bad thing. It was always great to be at these games and have something on the line, and you know how these playoff games play out. They're always pretty good. There's always mm-hmm. something that happens. There's always something to write about. So you kind of miss that, and you almost feel a little displaced watching teams that aren't the one you cover.
Well, this year though, there's a potential for some history, which will be a lot of fun. I feel like that's good for, it's good for media, it's good for sports fans if we could potentially have that.
I don't think all those other teams mind, though.
No one's crying for the Patriots.
Right? Nope.
No one
There's
at all.
No love lost there. They did. They won enough, you know. Let somebody else have a turn.
Karen Garigian is still covering the Patriots as they now look for a third head coach in 3 years. And you can find her online at Kay Garigian, now with Mass Live Sports. And it's always good to have you on the show. Happy New Year. Never a dull moment, even when they don't make the playoffs. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Amy. Take care.